Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hear this, right now.
Welcome.
Primetime with Isaac and Suk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Shut your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Primetime with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Hey.
What?
What?
Huh? Who? What's happening?
What?
Are we on?
Hello?
Caller, are you
what?
There?
Mom?
Sioux Falls, go!
What it do? What's going on?
What? Nothing.
How are you guys?
It's crisp.
Yeah?
It's crisp outside.
Yeah, I went to the coast. I was at the Oregon coast.
Ooh, really?
Over the weekend.
That's probably extra chilly.
Yeah, was it crisper than crisp?
Yeah. Yeah, it was butt cold out there.
Yeah. Oh, believe me.
But that... nice. I mean, like, it was sunny.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, this weekend was officially butt, you know, I was going to say
a little breezy.
It was butt cold. I've taken to peeing inside now. That's how cold it is.
It was sneaky cold. Like, I had hat and gloves on the beach.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the beach.
And I felt great about it.
You were all bundled up, even though you didn't really know why you were there.
What?
Well, I'm fascinated by people that, well, I guess it was sunny, but like going down to the coast when it's crappy weather, I don't fully understand that because it's just the coast can be quite depressing.
Well, because you want to be near the ocean.
Yeah. It's the ocean, dude.
Mm.
The ocean's
like,
great.
Even when it rains, it's still nice to go out there.
Oh, I love it out there.
Really?
Absolutely.
Oh, it's such a great place to go.
I think the Oregon coast is delightful.
Such a happy place.
I find in bad weather, I find the Oregon coast to be really depressing.
Okay.
Yeah. Everything's shut down. Everything's gray. Mm-hmm. Like the
first
wind
of all,
howling.
Not everything is shut down. That's your loss.
Yeah. What is that? Everything's shut down. No, it
everything's
acts
open.
Just as it does.
There's still businesses.
No, they're not. You ever going down like in the wintertime?
Yes.
Half those businesses are shut. Those companies or the little businesses, they make like no one goes there. Like I'm sorry, but in November,
but
it is
people
not
still live there.
Not many. That place clears out. I think you're painting a way, way too rosy picture of the depressing
ass. Well,
okay,
way to take a crap on our coast right out of the chute, you jerk.
November, December.
God.
There's less people there.
Place is great.
There's still things that are open that you can do. You can still see the ocean, which is what you want to do when you go there anyway.
You can dive in the water.
Can you?
You can kick all the jellyfish that wash up.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool to see.
Hey, it's 42.
The rain makes the sand easier to walk on.
Hey, it's 42 and windy. Let's go play in the surf.
You can play ball with your dog. That's what we did.
All right.
That new little dog we got.
Yeah, I took the wiener. It's not a wiener dog.
No, it's not a wiener dog.
You got a chihuahua or something.
It's a Mexi mutt.
Okay.
You can you can have a bonfire if it's not raining that night. That'll keep you warm.
It's nice to bundle up by a fire with the waves crashing in. That's therapeutic.
Very peaceful.
Well, have at it.
Yeah.
You know, just
very peaceful.
You tell me that it's bad weather. Hey, you want to go down to the coast? No.
I will have at it.
No, I'll go ahead and pass on that.
I also think
hard pass.
The Oregon coast and the Washington coast, I guess for that matter, are two of the prettier places in the United States. And I've been to a lot of the United States.
Yeah.
There's a lot of pretty areas. But Oregon coast never gets old to me.
The Oregon coast, I will tell you, greater than a lot of the Washington coast.
A lot
Like if
it depends.
Up, yeah, you go up to like Aberdeen and like Grays Harbor.
Right.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
But, unless you want to score some meth and go to like a mall where Tom Cruise went to once. You got to admit, man, there's some coastal...
Well, there's a hidden methy vibe in Oregon,
that's
too.
That's my point, is
it's just...
I love the Oregon coast, because now I'm going to get the, you hate the Oregon coast.
Here's the backtrack.
Yeah, you're backtracking.
Here's my point. we paint the Oregon coast as if it's some sort of just pristine, untouched, magical place with nothing wrong with it whatsoever. And you said it best. You're going down to the Oregon coast. You want to talk about an underlying methy vibe? Absolutely. And if you go down there in the wintertime when a lot of the kind of the tourist stuff has gone away and a lot of the businesses aren't necessarily putting out all of the effort because no one's going there, that undercurrent of methy vibe and depressing weather and grayness all and bad weather and peeling houses and salt water, all that comes bubbling up to the surface. And I don't think it's necessarily the most magical place on earth when you go down there in November.
Well, you were attempting to clarify and backtrack and look better, and I think you made it worse.
Well,
that's what I think you just did there.
Much like the Oregon coast, as we get into the winter, it gets worse.
You know what, though? Bandon, right on the coast, and some of the best times to go down there are the winter months.
Sure.
December, January, February, because it's less windy. And every once in a while,
you can get some decent weather,
really nice days. Like I've golfed out there in January. It's like 65, sunny, no wind.
Yeah.
Talk to me about that.
My buddy grew up in Pacific City, said living on the Oregon coast is miserable, and he loves the outdoors.
Well, living there is a little.
Who's saying live there?
Yeah, that's a little different because there isn't much out there. Yeah.
You go for a 1 day jaunt. And then you drive back home that night. Or you stay one night in an Airbnb or hotel.
And
or
why do you read that text and not all of the texts
telling
you to shut it
that are in your face? The coast in the winter is great.
Okay. Let me just ask you this.
Fake news.
Let me ask you. Why don't people flock there this time of year?
You've lost another argument.
I'd like to ask the question. It was packed.
It was packed.
Well.
Dude, we had to walk way down the beach in order to get some space.
COVID might have something to do with that because there's nothing else going on. And you're trying to hold on to the last scraps of halfway decent weather. But I can assure you that if you go again and you go during the wintertime, it is not packed. And thus, something is happening that causes people to not go to the beach as much as they do in the summer. Therefore, my argument that the beach not as great this time of year,
it would seem to think that everything,
including tourism dollars, can I finish there, Trump, unless you're going to interrupt me?
It's going to be that kind of week.
It's going to be that kind of week. So something would tell me that, let's see, commerce, traffic, everything else would seem to back up my argument that people really don't flock to the coast this time of year.
No, your argument wasn't that. I don't think either of us is saying it's better than the summer. The summer is much better, but it's still enjoyable to go to this time of year. That's the argument.
That's right.
It's not better.
And like somebody said, there's really no season out there. You can go in summer or winter and face clouds and fog either way, which is true. You can.
Yeah.
So you have lost another argument right out of the gate.
I don't think I have. My argument.
You know how I know you've lost?
Your only metric is
I liked it.
I like it.
Yeah.
Oh,
two against
argument.
One.
Great argument,
so
POTUS. Great argument.
The way you lose.
We're turning the corner. Everything's fine. The numbers. Read the papers. Okay. Yeah, makes sense.
Are you saying you're not voting for him? Who'd you vote for?
I'm just saying those are your arguments.
Peek behind the curtain.
I did vote today. I put it right in the old mail slot.
Yeah?
Although I didn't.
Who'd you vote for?
I did go in the wrong way and I got yelled at.
Are you going to tell us
by
who you voted
for? By the bus guy. No.
People want to know.
I voted for none of your GD business. That's who I voted for.
That's true. It really isn't.
No, it is not. It's like, what religion are you? Again, I'm the religion of none of your
But you're a radio
business.
Personality that loses arguments. People want to know.
Mm. I did. The C-Tran guy, he yelled at me today. I went in the wrong place and I ended up amongst the buses. And I had a guy, he accosted me, yelled at me. Said, what the hell are you doing?
You're always getting yelled at in public.
It's like trying to find the mailbox.
You ever notice that?
Yeah, he's like up there.
All right, well,
but
great.
It was nice to have the little drop-off ballot box.
Well, you know, so you guys get your ballots in the mail, right?
Yes.
And then you go and you drop them off.
Yeah.
Right? You can't mail them back in?
No, you can mail them back
in. You have mail-in voting too.
Yeah.
Okay.
But they have drop boxes and so you just
go.
Well, of course.
But we're really spoiled with the mail-in voting.
Yes.
Like I was talking to my kid. He's like, I think I'm going to go vote, but I may not have time. I'm like, have time? Fill out the thing. Put it in the mail.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, well, what? Mail? We don't have mail-in voting. I'm like, oh, we're spoiled. I forgot.
We are. It's embarrassing when you look and see, you know, people that are waiting in line 8 to 10 hours or in some of those counties, like I've seen down in Texas and some of the places in the South, Texas is the one that removed all those, the drop boxes. So there's some counties that have like 60 to 80,000 people and there's one box, one. Some people have to drive 100 miles to go. I mean, that's absurd. It's absolutely absurd that voting is that difficult. And then you look at it, and on the back of my little mail-in ballot there, it says you can mail it in or you can drop it off at one of these locations. And then there's like 9 of them. It's just like right now. And one of them, the little I can drop it off at a bus station. It was a quarter mile from my house. And then you're just like, how is it not this easy everywhere?
Show your taxes.
Show them.
I want to see them.
You can. It's depressing.
Hey, though. I just was in the mailroom.
Yeah.
I don't know why, because we don't really get mail now.
No, mail has been canceled. You can't really get it here.
Well, we don't really have anybody at the front desk.
No.
So I'm not really sure what happens with our mail.
I used to have a lot of stuff mailed here because then it just, there's always someone here to pick it up and it doesn't sit on my front porch. And, you know, plus no tax, by the way, getting it sent to Oregon. But I can't do that anymore. But occasionally I'll forget and I'll just naturally send something here. And there is a little, like McGinley, crazy as McGinley left his number on the front door. So if the UPS guy wants, he can call McGinley and then like McGinley can come to the front and he can hold it for you. But I don't know if that's I don't know if that's like a real sound sort of method.
It's not like we get any mail anyway.
No.
Like at the fan.
No.
Except for our boss gets Sioux hate mail. But.
Yeah, from the Oregon Coasters.
Yeah, the Coasties.
Yeah, there's someone down there that's livid right now.
Well, I was in there because every once in a while there's just a pile of mail.
Yeah.
And nobody really knows what to do with it. And nobody really cares that it's there. So I sift through it. Looking for gold.
I don't think you can do that.
Well, I don't open it. I'm just looking at
you just sift
at like what the magazines are and this and that.
Sure.
And I just pulled out a golf magazine, which is I always love these because I don't know why they come here, but they just, you know, sports magazines that just show up.
Yeah.
And music magazines show up here.
I get I give it to Mike and Mike doesn't even want it. I don't know how it happens, but I get a New York Yankee magazine.
Well, no, actually. I get that. It's now addressed to me.
Oh, even better.
I looked at it because it was on my desk and it was like to Mike Lynch. And I was like, okay.
Nice.
Yeah. They've been listening.
No, they just kept.
They know you're a fan.
For the longest time, I didn't even know the Yankees had a magazine. It comes like once a month.
Ain't nobody
got
time
for that. Growing up.
And I was like,
I used to be a subscriber.
And I kept giving it to Mike and he's like, I don't want this. I'm like, well, I don't want it either.
Well, magazines have a pretty good bit right now because nobody really orders them and nobody really wants them.
They just show
anymore.
Up.
But the magazines are like, screw you. Even though it's kind of like people cutting the cord and cable, you know?
Yeah.
Like nobody really wants cable. They're just too lazy to cut it, you know? Same with magazines. It's like it's like if you have a subscription, you're like, it's only like $20 a year, whatever. And it automatically renews and you don't really know how to unrenew it.
No.
Or cancel it. And then sometimes they just show up free. Magazines are great because they're just like, you don't really understand how we disseminate our materials. Mm-hmm. Therefore, we win because somehow, some way, whether you like it or not, our materials get in your
hand. But how are they making money then?
Advertisements. Yeah. In advertisements into the...
I think mine is a credit card thing because periodically I get, periodicals. I get Esquire. I get like Rolling Stone. Men's Health shows up every now and then.
Yeah, those are like... credit card.
I think it's just like a credit card thing. Yeah. But I don't ask
for it. You sign up for it in the fine print.
And then like,
you don't even care.
No. And they come for, and I always enjoy it when I get them. I got Wired magazine for like six months. I was like,
good little magazine.
Like Wired. Great.
Good little magazine.
And then is I don't know why it showed up, but then seemingly it just disappears again. And I'm like, what? Like, where did that go?
So the new golf magazine is one of my favorite issues where they do the best courses in the United States.
Yes.
And I love to look through that. And see which ones I've played and which ones I want to go play and this and that. I even take a pen to it.
Your old madness is fantastic.
Oh, yeah, I put my bifocals on. Yeah. Or no, I have my magnifying glass when I read it.
My mom still does
with my scotch.
My mom has the magnifying glass.
And it was addressed to what I believe to be the most obscure fan personality ever.
Really?
Yeah, now you guys can argue this and longtime listeners can challenge this.
Yeah.
I'm open to this being wrong. But it was addressed... to former 1080 The Fan kind of personality, mm-hmm. Rich Bonino.
Get right the hell out of town.
Do you remember Rich Bonino?
How is that even possible?
I don't know.
And that's recently.
He was a producer.
Yeah.
Well, recently. It just showed up. I was just in there. I was in there last week and it wasn't in there. So, Rich Bonino. And Rich Bonino was an on-air guy.
That's like 15 years ago,
yeah,
right?
Probably about 15.
Yeah.
And he's a great dude. He now lives in North Carolina. Boy, I don't know what it is he does, but
we could have gone again. This is one of those, you could have asked me to name fan personalities. We would have been here until like 6:20 before I came up with Rich.
Yeah, he's a deep cut.
That is.
Do you think that's the most obscure fan personality that thing could have been addressed to?
I can't think of another one that is more obscure.
I've never heard of him before.
Maybe an intern.
That's a good start.
An intern whose name I don't recognize. Then you'd be like, oh, remember that one guy?
That's not a personality.
Interns aren't. Yeah. Like Rich was a station.
Yeah he was on.
Yeah. No offense to interns, but
yeah,
you know, you're not quite there yet.
Wow. That's a deep cut, man. That's the one, like, you're at the concert and they're like, hey, we're going to play something off the first album. And everyone's like, what?
Rich Bonino.
Like, what the hell? I guess. Hey,
I'm going to go get a beer.
Let's just clap along, right? I guess.
Anyway, I wanted to point that out to you.
All right.
Rich Bonino is still getting mail here at the fan.
No, I thought you were
saying something. And no one
cares. I thought you were saying something about the banding courses. I'm assuming.
Oh, I can. You want that? We can do a whole segment on it if you want.
On the list.
I'm going out there in December, and I will re-rank.
Oh, it's just wonderful.
I will re-rank.
We haven't played Sheep Ranch yet.
No, I haven't. You have. Everybody at the station has. I have not. I will be playing that in December.
It's wonderful.
I can't wait.
No bunkers, and that, for me, just warms my heart.
Well, Jace, it was a great sports weekend.
It was.
I read that on Mike's Twitter, so it has to be true.
One of the most memorable World Series games of all time.
Oh, World Series. Do you want to start there?
Well, I mean, I think it was...
That was stunning.
It was sports. That, if you want something that just said... That's, and I think that was, by the way, it was just my tweet was sports. If you wanted something that just...
My tweet was, oh my God.
Yeah, if you want
I
something
love baseball.
That encapsulates why people watch sports and why it's the only thing that is DVR proof, it's that. It's
not often when you're watching a game that doesn't involve your own team that you get so into it that you get up and scream when something happens.
Yeah.
I got up and yelled at the top of my lungs, oh my God, in the bottom of the ninth inning
in that
Dodgers race game.
I spilled pasta all over myself, like right down the front of me.
Did you jump up?
Yeah, I was sitting down in the old chair, you know, like you got your feet up and you're like, you just kind of, you're spooning, you're like, you're caking, you're just shoveling it in your face. And that happened. And before I even realized it, there's just, yeah, it just, it had dribbled all the way down me. I was like, whoops. Because you just kind of have that instant, what the hell was that? Like that. Like it's a full body jerk. It's not even really a sit up. It's just kind of like you kind of lunge forward to the edge of your seat. Like you're in a monster truck rally.
I think there are four, maybe five people in that game that you could send the bill for your shirt to.
Yes.
You know,
I mean, it was
like
crazy.
I was thinking in my head, I was like, well, you should send the bill to Brett Phillips. But then I'm like, well, it's not really Brett Phillips' fault.
No.
It's probably Chris Taylor's fault, but it's not his. It's probably Max Muncy's, but it's not his. It's probably Will Smith's. But then it's probably a Rosarena's fault, and then it's Kenley Jansen's fault ultimately. So maybe they could split it six ways.
And it was a Ken Griffey Jr. shirt that I was wearing too, and I was a little bummed out about. I don't know if that's going to come out.
Mm. Well, we could start there, and we may.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Our poll question pertains to football, so tune in to find out where we begin next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
I see.
What are we knowing?
Well, Mike's on the phone and he's smiling. And so then I looked at the phone line. And you know, our phone lines, KFXX phone lines.
Yeah.
They say who is calling. I can see your name on the phone line.
Or at least whoever owns your phone. Yes.
Yeah. Whoever. Right. I can see the name. You said, tell me it was Rich.
Yeah.
It was Jennifer Bonino.
It was Rich Bonino.
What?
That was Richie?
Yeah. He didn't want to come on the air, but he wanted to say thanks for shouting him out. And
how the hell did he hear about that? He lives in North Carolina.
One of our listeners just texted in. He used to be his roommate when he lived here, and he keeps in touch. So I guess he called in.
That is fantastic.
Wow.
Rich is in North Carolina, right?
Yeah.
What's he doing?
He just called him and was like, hey, I don't want to go on air. Just tell Isaac and Souk I heard him, and it was good to hear their voice. That's
fantastic.
All. He didn't tell me any details. I was like, oh, I'll put you on hold. He goes, oh, no, don't put me on hold.
By the way, I had not seen that. I just was kind of joking, was like, I hope it's Rich.
It said Jennifer Bonino on KFXX line two, and I thought, oh, no, shenanigans have begun. Anyway, yeah, blast from the past, Rich Bonino. Did you at least let him know he's still getting mail?
He's got the golf magazine?
His friend told him that.
That I'm stealing?
Yeah. I want him to be angry and be like, hey, you forward that on to me, you son of a bee.
By the way, Rich Bonino, little white dude, he could ball.
Yeah?
He was a baller.
He was a hooper?
They called him Raindrop Rich.
Now, is this a sarcastic?
No, like, he was good. Like,
along
he's a
came
good
Pauly, Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Dude, he's one of those guys that you'd look at and you go, he wasn't very athletic.
Dude, it is.
He was a really good basketball player, and he would lead the charge on the 1080 the fan, or back then it was like 910 the fan.
910, yeah.
3-on-3 basketball
the
teams.
Hoopla.
Yeah. Hoopla.
It's always weird when you see someone that has no earthly business. Like, they don't look like they should be good at what they're doing, and they go out, you're like, what? He's white chocolate out there crossing fools up.
Poll question today, as always, it is brought to you by AAA Heating and Cooling, family business helping families for over 50 years, AAAIAQ.com. The poll question is 1080thefan.com. That's our website. And we're asking you today, which is the best team in the NFC West?
No.
Whoa.
No.
Cardinals, they're in the NFC West, right?
Yes, they are.
Rams, Seahawks, Niners, or COVID?
There is not a bad team in the NFC West, including COVID. In fact, I think COVID's pretty damn good.
Let me ask you this. Was the best team in the NFC West playing last night?
No.
Because it didn't look like it.
I don't think that's the case. Believe it or not.
Do you think it's the Rams?
I actually think it's the 49ers.
Really?
I do.
Really?
I
think getting healthy?
I think if
with
Sam,
Jimmy Garoppolo?
See, here's the thing. I think Garoppolo is, this is one of the biggest misnomers going right now in the NFL. That Garoppolo is bad. And he's just not. Garoppolo is.
I think he sucks.
I think he's pretty bad.
It's an incorrect statement, and it's an ignorant statement.
You're ignorant.
Well, it's
you're
true.
You're now 0-2 in sports arguments.
Your argument that Garoppolo is bad is based on nothing. He has not lost two games in a row.
Except for my eyes.
Eye test as well as the graph that we saw of the highest interception ratio to the lowest pass completion yardage ratio.
And since he's come back since he's come back from the injury, he's been fine. Garoppolo is an above average solid starting quarterback. In fact, he's better than because that's a Fitzpatrick sort of thing. Garoppolo is good. Garoppolo is not great. Now, he's probably the worst quarterback in that division. But you're dealing with Russell Wilson, who I think is the best, if not second best quarterback in the NFL. I think Kyler Murray is really good, needs to figure some stuff out, and Goff in his system is quite good. But I think Garoppolo and Goff, honestly, are very much the same quarterback.
Goff.
I don't think there's a huge difference there. I think when you're talking about system quarterbacks and what they need to be successful, I would also like to point out that Jimmy G probably had a better statistical year last year than Aaron Rodgers and was one throw away. Now, granted, it was a missed throw he had from winning a Super Bowl. So I'm not saying by any stretch of the imagination that he is this elite guy, but there is a notion out there that he sucks and that they have to move on from him. And it's not based in anything other than occasionally you see a game that he plays in and everyone gets all butthurt about it. And then they freak out and next week he comes back and plays fine. I'd like to point out again, has not lost two games in a row. And is very solid statistically. He
has a good coach.
Yeah.
He has a good run game.
Great defense.
Great defense. He is shaky to me. And I don't think that's ignorant, but at the same time, it's okay if we disagree about him.
But it's not based on anything.
Well, it is. It's based on just watching him. I just think he's shaky.
I do not trust him with the ball.
And I think if you can get a team that forces them into situations where it's got to be him, then you're in real trouble. So, I mean, there's a difference between fine and serviceable and pretty good and Pro Bowl level. And
I would like to point out in 2020.
You just said he was fine.
I would like to point out in 2020, okay? Because, again, I'm about to win another argument here.
Ooh. Boy, you are coming in hot today.
I'm coming in hot.
Who wronged you this weekend? Jesus.
So his quarterback rating right now, and so he's played 5 games because he had the injury. So in his quarterback rating is 103, 140, 15.7. Now, granted, that was the one where he came back and it was a dumpster fire, right? And they had to remove it.
15.7?
15.7. That was obviously.
Can I take that as evidence?
That was an abomination. But again, that's the one where they pulled him and he clearly wasn't healthy. He came back from that one.
Point me and Rob.
124.3, and then he had an 84. Like, they're just, that game, he was 20 of 25. He didn't throw a touchdown. He did have the two picks. Again,
All right.
There's there's just nothing there to say that he is that he's bad. And by the way, that game that he had the 80 whatever and he had the two picks, they won 33-6.
Yeah, I just disagree with that about him. But you know, whatever. You may be right. I don't know. Well, I guess there's really no way to settle this sports.
But again,
we'll continue to let the play
okay,
out.
But again, by wins and losses, by numbers, by statistics. What is it about Jim? What is bad?
He's just shaky, and I just don't think that when he has to win you a football game, you can count on him. Evidenced by the whole conversation with Kyle Shanahan after the Super Bowl, where in that fourth quarter, the big narrative was he didn't trust Jimmy Garoppolo, and by the way, that was proven out at the end of that game when he had the chance to win the game, and he didn't. And now that's just one game, but I think that, I mean, there's the narrative that Shanahan wanted to move on from Garoppolo or isn't that comfortable with Garoppolo wasn't just made up. That's for a lot of different reasons. I think Shanahan and the run game makes Jimmy Garoppolo look better than he is. And oftentimes when you get defenses that can contain their offense better than others, it exposes Jimmy Garoppolo.
I also think
That's what I'm basing it off of, and I don't think that's out there. We don't have to agree on it. I just don't think it's that far out there. I think you can win with him. Obviously, they got to a Super Bowl with him, so it's not to say that he can't win a Super Bowl. It's just I think they could upgrade at quarterback like a Matt Ryan or a – who was the other one we were talking about the other day, the potential trade of an older guy?
Matthew,
I can't remember.
Like a Matthew Stafford.
Stafford or something. I think that would be a wise move for the Niners.
I also think you got to look at the skill position players a little bit. His wide receivers and the way the offense is run is so much of short passes and let them get the yardage themselves. Because part of it is because that's the type of player that Kyle Shanahan likes. But the other part is that because Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't throw the ball down the field that well. I mean, you get these little like dink and dunk passes to Deebo Samuel that go for 30 yards because he's fast as F, or you can go to now IU because he's even faster. And that's more how the offense is predicated on.
Let's put it this way. And it's probably too harsh to say he sucks. But I was watching the Arizona Cardinals last night. Back to the poll question of the NFC West. I think it's a fascinating question because you can make a case for all four. And I think it's interesting that you brought up the Niners because they're probably the one team that people are like, not ready to say that about yet. But if they get healthy, they certainly could be the best team in this division. But you watch that game last night, Seattle and Arizona, and who deserved to lose more? and I felt like it was Arizona. Honestly, as many mistakes as Russell Wilson made and the Seahawks made with penalties or whatever, I felt like Arizona tried to lose that game more. And I was watching that thinking, you know, Cliff Kingsbury is good. Okay, they're 5-2. Mm-hmm. He's got Kyler Murray. He's got his defense is now ravaged by injuries. And they get no pass rush. Somehow they won the game. But I was sitting there going, God, if Kyle Shanahan had Kyler Murray, holy crap. Because I think Kyler Murray is sensational. It's just that they're like Swiss cheese. They're leaky all over the place. But, you know, generally speaking, it's pretty tasty treat.
You don't feel like Cliff Kingsbury built an offense that works well with Kyler Murray?
No,
I feel like it's a pretty perfect match.
I think he's good. I just think Shanahan is better. And I think Cliff Kingsbury looks better because he has Kyler Murray. And I think Jimmy Garoppolo looks better because he has Kyle Shanahan. And if you took, to me, this is just my opinion about these four guys. If you took Kyler Murray and put him in San Francisco with Kyle Shanahan, I think you got something a la Harbaugh and Lamar Jackson type of thing. Or Pete Carroll or Russell Wilson. So I don't know. To the NFC West debate, I don't know. I don't know who it is because I thought it was probably Seattle, but Seattle cannot get any sort of pass rush whatsoever.
No.
You know, they shoot themselves in the foot over and over and over. And then when Russell Wilson turns it over three times, they're ordinary.
Well, and all you need to, like, Seattle to me is still
so
better.
So who is it?
Seattle's better than Arizona. They just are.
I mean,
Arizona, the only time they had the lead in that ball game was when they finally won the game.
Well, and they still tried to lose it.
They did. The clock, we'll get into the clock management thing. Blows my mind what Arizona was doing at the end of regulation.
You mean trying to throw the touchdown pass?
Field goal on second down?
Yeah.
In overtime, the deep with like 9 seconds left or whatever.
And when did settling for a 48-yard field goal? You're like, we got this. It's fine. Anywho, the thing with Seattle, and I'll say this with Arizona, and this, whoever, if it's one of those teams, one of those two teams that wins the division, it's all a moot point, because with zero pass rush, you can't beat you can't beat Kansas City. You just can't. You can generate zero pass rush, and when push comes to shove, and you have to play against the better teams, you're going to really struggle.
So it's the Rams or Niners.
I think it's the Rams or Niners, but. You know, there are some things you can do. Like Dallas today came out and put on the I guess on Front Street saying that, hey, if anyone's interested, Everson Griffin's available. Hello, Carlos Dunlap's upset in Cincinnati, and so is Geno Atkins. Apparently both of those guys are on the block. Go make a move. You desperately, more than any team in the NFL, maybe Arizona goes along with this too, you need to find a pet. You did not hit Kyler Murray one time, not once. I can't recall a game. Especially a guy that holds onto the ball as long as Kyler Murray, 40, whatever it was, dropbacks, and you didn't hit him once, not one time.
They ain't going anywhere with that.
You're not going anywhere. And this is what we Seattle will be in every game they play, because Russell Wilson and that offense are damn good. And Lockett, whose game is going to get lost in all this, was an absolute freak last night. Metcalf's an emerging star. You are a really good offensive team with a truly elite special player, and it will keep you in all of those games. But we've seen it three or four times this year that the offense has to basically be perfect in order to pull out very, very close games. And finally, last night, the offense wasn't perfect. And even when Arizona wasn't that good and tried to give the game away to you, it wasn't enough. And we knew that those close games, some of those are going to start going back the other way, or your offense isn't going to be perfect every single week, and it's going to come back and bite you in the ass. So I still think Seattle can win a lot of games, and Seattle is going to be a contender because of that offense, but you have to figure out a way. You have to, before the trade deadline, to find someone that on third down can get you off the field without having to bring pressure, because your secondary can't hold up on the back end.
Well, it turns out it was a pretty good poll question today. 1080thefan.com, quite debatable. 2020 NFC West so far, the fourth division in NFL history where every team had four or more wins through 7 weeks. It's only happened three other times.
Yeah.
Now, here's what you need to know about those three other times. It was 84 AFC West, 2005 NFC East, and 2016 NFC East, and those division champions, Broncos, Giants, and Cowboys, all lost their first playoff game, and none of those divisions had a team get past the divisional round. So, for what, I don't know if that means anything.
More parity than anything else?
Maybe so. But the other thing about the Rams, you can make a case it's probably the Rams, maybe the most solid all the way around. Their only wins are against NFC East teams.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's really close between all four of these teams.
There's question marks across the board, and it's a big question mark with San Francisco, and that is, can San Francisco get healthy? And again, can Seattle pick up the phone right now? The moment Dallas said Everson Griffin is available and Carlos Dunlap put up his home for sale on Twitter, John Schneider should be on the phone to both of those teams saying, hey, let's work something out. And don't go get one, go get both. Who cares about Antonio Brown? Go get those two guys, put them at the bookends, rush the quarterback, get Adams back in the secondary, and all of a sudden I think the fate of that defense could change a little bit.
Okay, I have a clowny question, but we'll put a pin in that. Do you guys want to talk about the big baseball finish?
What?
The big World Series finish?
Yeah, the Daniel Jones round in third.
That was unbelievable.
Yeah. I haven't seen anything like it.
We'll get to that next. Here's Mike.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, I don't know what the wildest finish to a World Series game ever is. Probably debatable. I remember the Joe Carter home run.
Yeah.
That's probably that one. And, of course, I'm biased because I'm a Royals fan. But when the Royals, you know, Alex Gordon gapped one against Madison Bumgarner a couple years ago. Remember that? And Bumgarner was mowing him down, and he gets to third. And there was this debate of whether they should have sent him. And he's standing at third base as the tying run. You remember that?
I do remember that. But
you probably don't remember it very well. I remember it vividly because I'm a Royals guy. But
did he get thrown out at home or something?
No,
they held
him.
They didn't send him.
They held him. And there was nobody was touching Madison Bumgarner. So it was basically a foregone conclusion. There were two outs, nobody on. This is the game where this was game seven. He came in and pitched five innings, and they just weren't touching him.
Yeah.
Gordon somehow gaps one. The left fielder muffs it all the way out at the wall. And Gordon was kind of coasting around first, or else maybe he could have gone – He gets all the way to third. The third base coach holds him. Later, of course, they study it and say that there's no way he would have been safe at home plate. Some think they should have sent him because, well, Bumgarner's mowing everybody down. This is your best chance. Make the Giants make a play. Well, Brandon Crawford has one of the best outfield guns as a relay man in all of baseball. And anyway, that's the situation. They held him. And the next batter popped out.
Yeah.
But that was a wild and breathtaking finish to a World Series game. Well, and I remember Joe Carter, but...
And the one is game, you know, game six, obviously, with the Mets and, you know... Everyone.
Oh, well, of course,
I mean,
yeah.
That's probably, yeah. If you want this...
That's the most famous.
You want the most famous. Because the walk-off, right? You still have, you know, you got... If you're going to go with just dramatic, you can go with Carter. And by the way, that won the World Series. Or you go with Pudge, right? Waving it foul. Now,
Luis Gonzalez.
You know, that, you know, they didn't end up winning the series. Or, yeah, Gonzo. And again, that won the series. But as far as strange things, Todd Phillips?
Brett Phillips.
Or Brett Phillips. You're like, what?
Proving your point.
Exactly. Who?
Former Royal.
Yeah.
By the way, they
said that. And I was like, there is zero chance.
Let me tell you something. I thought about you guys because as I was watching that and Brett Phillips came up to the plate, I went, oh my effing God, because you guys are not familiar with Brett Phillips. I am. And he's a Punch and Judy. Okay. He's so bad. The Royals didn't want him. And so the Rays got him and barely threw him on the World Series roster.
He wasn't on the ALC or the ALCS
no,
roster.
He's a speed guy. Sucks.
Yeah, he's a month.
He's a lefty, but he's in there for his speed or to bunt. And Kevin Cash, the manager of the Rays, this is not last night's game, the game before Saturday night. It was an amazing finish if you didn't see it. And most people didn't. No one's watching the World Series. No one's watching sports. No.
By the way, the whole game was incredible.
It was a great game.
Eight consecutive half innings with runs scored from the fourth to the eighth.
So Cash empties his bench in the eighth, and it turns out that a guy who hasn't had a hit since September, the last guy on your roster is at the plate in that spot with two men on, and he has to swing, not bunt.
Yeah.
So that's on Kevin. Like that, you know, Kevin Cash in his head was like, oh, my God.
Crap.
Yeah, right. There was nobody that knows Brett Phillips that said, holy crap, what bad luck for the Rays that he's coming up in this spot. This guy has no chance. Well, sure enough, thank God Dave Roberts put Kenley Jansen in there because against Kenley, Brett Phillips can actually hit.
Yeah.
And he gets a base hit. Chris Taylor, who's only in center because Cody Bellinger's back tightened up.
I think he was, the third center fielder that had played that. The third guy to play the center field that
he
game.
He started the game at second.
Started the game at second.
And what is it? Runner second and third, right?
So the runner's at first and second.
First and second, that's right. And the runner from second, of course, scored game tied.
Yes.
So at least they've tied it with Kiermaier two outs
scores,
in the ninth.
And here comes a Rosarena.
A Rosarena gets to third, and they wave him because Taylor botches his ball. Well, he throws it into Muncy.
Well, he didn't just botch it. Like, it's one thing. He didn't bobble. He booted it. He booted it a couple feet to his left and had to go get it. So at that point, they're
like shot out of his glove behind him somehow.
Yeah, and they're like, they send him. So here comes a Rosarena.
So Rosarena's being waved home now, winning run. And Max Muncy, short arm, who is Lucas Duda?
Yeah.
Your Mets bro that F that first base throw in the Royals World Series. You remember that?
I do remember.
Do you remember who won that series?
I do remember. Yeah. We had a lead, and the Mets had a lead in every game.
Muncy short-armed it, but Will Smith should have had it at the plate, and they would have had a Rosarena by a mile because a Rosarena fell down.
The thing is, as you're watching it, right? Like, I was expecting, like, they're because Buck does the, they're going to send a Rosarena, and then they didn't show him falling down. All you saw was the replay, and I thought Smith had the ball, and I'm thinking to myself, where the hell is the Rosarena? They never showed him falling down. All of a sudden, he's going back to third, and I'm like, what the hell is happening? I didn't find out that he fell down until after the fact. And then you realize that Will Smith didn't have the ball.
Smith misses it. Jansen doesn't back up home plate. Afterwards, they asked him about it. He said it didn't matter. I mean, it kind of did.
Yeah, it kind of did.
But actually, it really did.
And then if you saw the play, the replay, where they showed all the cut highlights of the emotions of the players, Jansen collapsed to his knees after giving up the single, which is why he wasn't backing up home plate.
Well, he should have been. So they screwed it up. A comedy of errors from the Dodgers. And I got to tell you, I don't root against the Dodgers, but I certainly am rooting for the Rays here in this series. I like the $28 million payroll versus the $108 million payroll. I like that, right?
Yeah.
Come on. Aren't we all rooting for the Rays a little bit?
Nope.
Yeah, I got money on the Dodgers.
Unless you have money on the Dodgers.
Still.
Or the Rays beat your team.
The Rays beat the Yankees. But boy, I am here for the Dodgers melting down. I God, that is so great to me. And then I thought, you know what? They could be in real trouble. Now. They're better than the Rays. The Rays can't hit. So it's like the Rays steal this game, and now it's 2-2 going into Clayton. Now Kershaw's on the mound, and you know the whole thing with him. So it's like, boy, you know, I could see the Dodgers totally just choking this away. And then, of course, the Dodgers came back and won last night, well, and it was and Kershaw pitched great.
And Glasnow was just a he had nothing.
Like he's overrated.
He's just bouncing the ball 4 feet.
He's
in front
not
of
overrated. Just, I think he's tired.
He's so overrated. Dude, there that guy hasn't done anything all year.
There was just nothing there. There was nothing.
So
there.
Now it's 3-2 Dodgers. Game six is tomorrow. But Walker Buehler isn't pitching until game seven.
You got Snell and then probably a bullpen game from the Dodgers. So, you know, there's a good chance that we get game seven here.
Which would be Morton versus Buehler.
Yeah, which is all you could hope for.
I think people are chalking this one up to the Rays because they beat Gonsolin in the bullpen game before. Yeah. I don't think they're going to do that this time, but we'll see. I mean, the Dodgers are better than the Rays, but here we are. And they don't have their ace going, which is, again, Dave Roberts. Why Dave Roberts didn't go Buehler game 2-6, I have no idea. But he didn't. He went Buehler game 3, and if there's a game 7, so he opens the door for the Rays to force a game 7.
Dave Roberts continues to prove that he's not a very good manager.
It makes no sense.
No.
But
at least he had the common sense to not throw. And I guess, you know, he can claim fatigue or whatever, but Jansen didn't go back out. So
he did make that call last night, and that was important.
Yeah.
And just you knew
trying to got the save.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you knew he wasn't going to put Jansen.
No,
back out
I mean,
there.
that's
you can't do
that's
that.
Done. Right. I mean,
it's over.
It's
Brett Phillips.
Yes. It's over.
Hadn't had a hit since September.
Let it go. But that's still
amazing finish.
I just remember sitting there and not being able to comprehend what I saw.
Wildest.
Just all the different components.
Yeah. All the different things. That's the wildest inning to a World Series game I can remember.
And even a Rosarena crawling and then just kind of dying. And it's slapping home plate. You're like, it's what the hell?
Fantastic.
That just happened.
All right. We've got our college football weekend reach around coming up. More on weekend in NFL, it says here. And our stock watch. Stay there. It is 351 on the Fan.
Prime time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
I was looking up. I found a list. They ranked all the endings of World Series games over the last 50 years, and they do have. I'll be interested to see what when the list is updated. But they do have the Mets. They've got the Buckner play and that whole inning because it was way more than just the Buckner play. If you remember that when that was extra innings in the 10th, the Red Sox went up by 2. And then you had the Mets come back and tie it on a wild pitch, and then the Buckner thing happened. But they have that ranked as the best. And I'll be interested to see if you're going to talk overall game in the ending. I don't think you're going to get a better one than what we saw in Game 4 of the Rays and Dodgers.
Well, as Mike said, it was more than that. Just one moment.
Yeah. I said it was that eight straight half innings.
Great back and forth.
Yeah.
Truly great ball game. So if that factors in, then I think it does. It should be up near the top.
Yeah. That might be the greatest World Series game of all time.
A text 503-250-1080. This whole sports weekend was going back to Thursday is about guys falling down when they didn't want to and not falling down when they did want to.
That is
oh my
true.
God. That's so true.
Oh, believe me. All I thought about after I saw a Rosarino just eat it. He just got in the grass and just tripped over his own feet was Daniel Jones. And someone on Twitter, because Twitter's undefeated, they put the two right together and they put the calls overlapped and it's wonderful.
Well, then on Sunday you had Todd Gurley falling down.
That's right.
Yes.
When he
incorrectly,
he wanted to fall down.
Boy, he tried to tie
and
rope
Penn State, the same thing.
Yeah.
Yep.
Fascinating. And a great point by one of our astute texters.
Hey, that's why sports is, like I said, it's DVR proof. It's the one thing that you kind of have to watch live. You can't binge watch
that's
it.
Right.
You got to be there.
And no one's watching. And we all know why. We've talked about this. You know, the election's taking a lot of
people. Oh, yeah, the World Series ratings are horrific.
Well, no one's watching sports right now. I mean, it's a weird time.
The NFL numbers are okay. I mean,
I know. I'm just saying, in
the NFL
general,
is a gorilla.
When I say no one, of course people are watching. It's just right now, space and time, sports is on the back burner for a lot of people. And that's very obvious. And it's not the only thing, but, you know, the election, you've got COVID, bigger, you know, bigger problems to worry about. And people just are not watching. Sports went away for like 3 months, out of sight, out of mind to other people. It's just 2020.
Yeah.
Period. And then you've got cable cutting and all that too. So all of that factors in. So people are watching, but you're so right that while it seems that they are not front and center like they used to be, and they're never front and center, you know what I mean, sports, but just the ratings are way down. People are just not watching sports like they used to. And we know why. It still never disappoints. When you want to come back and watch sports, dude, it is just, there's nothing like it.
Nope.
And it's unduplicatable.
And if you still look, if you look at the most watched programs week in and week out, it's not even close. Sports is still dominating. When people are sitting down to watch TV, however they're consuming it, you're still watching sports. It's why the companies pay, you know, a king's ransom to have these things.
All right. Coming up next, what do we have, Bill? Well, let's get into some more NFL.
Let's.
You okay with that?
Yes.
We'll do our reach around at 5, yeah. 15, I mean.
We can talk about Cam Newton and Jeff Garcia and that whole thing.
Jeff Garcia?
Did you see the Jeff Garcia freak out?
Is he playing?
No. Jeff Garcia has been waiting to yell at Cam Newton for years and years and years, and it finally bubbled over and he snapped.
You think the Cowboys would sign Jeff Garcia?
They got DiNucci. Come on. And Andy Dalton, he's not dead at least. My word.
Does DiNucci just look like a backup quarterback?
Yes, he does. 100%. That, and it's fun to say.
Although he's third string.
DiNucci. And hey. I love, like, every backup quarterback, right? He completed his first pass, and everyone's like, hey, DiNucci. Nope.
Love this guy.
That was it. Over. And by the way, I'm embarrassed that there wasn't a fight on the field. After that hit on Andy Dalton, every one of those Cowboys linemen should be ashamed of themselves.
What if DiNucci and Garoppolo had coffee? Hey, how do you think it would sound?
Hey, Garoppolo and DiNucci.
Hey, Jimmy G. Give me some pointers, Ben. Hey, Benny DiNucci, I can't.
I just started laughing when they brought that guy in.
Hey. All right. We continue with our sports talk next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.